Good morning. Daniel chapter 6, almost halfway the book. We're going to study the first 9 verses and simple reminder of faithfulness as we learn from the life of Daniel. And I hope that we would be challenged and that we would excel in faithfulness as Daniel did. Let's read together. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one. The satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. And this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole kingdom, the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors, satraps, thronged before the king, said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, counselors, and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except your king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, the king Darius signed the written decree, issuing that he only should be worshipped. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, thank you so much for your word, how it refreshes our hearts and souls, how it strengthens, Lord, our path of righteousness, how we receive instruction, oh God, as we get direction, oh God, as we follow your guidance, O Lord, as we listen, O Lord, we are just ready, Lord, to receive and to allow your life and your word to flow into us, that we may look like you, that we may be faithful, O God, that your spirit may flow through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So King Darius is on the throne. We saw that the Medes and Persians took over from the Babylonians. We saw that last week. Darius actually received the kingdom from God. The Bible says it was no fight whatsoever. The Babylonians were drunk. They are off guard. They were off duty. So they walked in and took over the kingdom. Remember, Daniel was promoted, and this time his promotion only lasts for a few hours. Surprise, his promotion still stands. We find him here, one of the 3 governors in the kingdom, and the king was planning or thinking of making him the governor of the whole province of the Medes and Persians. Here we find another unfortunate effort by evil men to bring down a righteous man. Daniel, the Bible says, had an excellent spirit in him. That word excellent comes from the word exceed. He was surpassing in excellence or in lifestyle, far above everyone else. Did you want to be in the same class with Daniel? Were you in class and there was this person who is always clean, their shoes are always polished, their shirt is always white, they have their homework done, and you're wondering, where do they live? Right? And for you struggling to do your homework, you know, when you go home, you first examine your shirt, see if you can wear it the next day. You're late. Your handwriting is like a doctor. No offense to doctors. He excelled in lifestyle. He was neat. He was faithful. And as these fellow governors of his find out that the king was planning or thinking of promoting him higher than he was, they want to bring him down. They want to tear him apart. And they examined and looked for anything to make sure Daniel is not promoted, and they failed. They looked for any fault, and they could not find one. Daniel has been serving here for over 50 years. 50, can you imagine? And for 50 years, he had done nothing wrong. No fraud, no questionable conduct, no corruption, no scandals, no accusations from his colleagues or even his subordinates. Bible says because he was faithful. That is a rare virtue. In Micah chapter 7 verse 2, the prophet asked, "The faithful man has perished from the earth. There is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net." Faithfulness is a rare virtue. Excellence is a rare virtue. We look for it, but it's very scarce. Just imagine you've been working in one place for 50 years. You have a 50-year experience. And you have some jealousy within your workplace. And everybody's trying to tear you apart so that they would climb to your level. And they're looking for even just one fault that is serious enough to tear you apart, to bring your career down. There is none. I read a story of a pastor, and somebody wanted to look for a reason to accuse him of wrongdoing. So I think this man eventually joined a company that collected trash for the church. And all he wanted to do is to find fault in this pastor by looking in his trash. And every week for close to 20 years, he would keep this rubbish from the church, and he is looking for a fault from this man and could not find one. Micah asks, who can find such a man? Imagine somebody looks into your trash. What would they be able to find? Right? False checks, fraud, corruption. Not only was Daniel excellence in his lifestyle, he was faithful in his conduct. Can that be said of us? And this doesn't imply that Daniel was actually sinless. He was not. But even when he was caught in sin, he was quick to admit and to apologize. There was no inch of pride in him. He was humble. When he was late for work, he admitted it was his fault. He's late. No excuses whatsoever. They looked for any serious offense under every circumstance, and it was not there. It must have been hard work, these men scrutinizing Daniel's life for all his service in the kingdom. No fault, no fraud, no evil. Faithfulness is being reliable. It's being trustworthy. It's being devoted. One dictionary defines faithfulness as the concept of unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice, regardless of the circumstance. Unfailingly being loyal to a person or to something. He was loyal to his job. He was loyal to his bosses. He was committed, above all, to his God. Under all circumstances, whether he was stressed or not, whether he was pressured because of the amount of work or not, whether he was, whatever the circumstance, he remained devoted, loyal, trustworthy. He was reliable. I think of our teachers in school when I think of faithfulness and reliability. We recently had a reunion at the school that I went to. And surprise, all those teachers, a good number of them are still there teaching. 20 years plus. And you know teachers don't really make much money under this government, you know that. 20 years plus and 30 years, and we left them there. They are still teaching. Doesn't that bless your heart? Doesn't that challenge us? And that was secondary school. Primary school teachers was one I met, I think, She must have passed all, and probably over 65, she was still teaching primary one. And every child loved her. I'm sure she had been teaching for over 40 years, and she was still teaching. She's not even ready for retirement. Faithfully teaching. And tell you what, faithful is required in every relationship that we can ever have. Our relationship with God requires us to be faithful to Him. Our relationship with one another requires us to be faithful to one another. I mean, who among us is out there looking for one unreliable, unfaithful, unloyal friend? Put up your hand. We'll clap for you. You're out there and all you do is, I'm looking for one friend who is very unfaithful, who will disappoint me all the time. How about an employer? Are you out there and you're looking for people to work for you? And all you're looking for is unfaithfulness. I would apply for that job. I can easily be unfaithful. I can choose to be unfaithful. But each one of us is looking for faithfulness from one another, whether it's just a casual friendship. It's a marriage. I mean, how many of us, marrieds, are looking for unfaithfulness in our partners? We don't even expect that. We don't want that. How many of you singles are looking for a very unfaithful girl? Or girls, all I want, pastor, is a very unfaithful man. Who wants that? No one wants that. And it blesses my heart when I see a married couple sticking together for 20 years plus. How many of you have been married there for 20? Been married for 20 years? Put up your hand. Yeah. That is beautiful. That's awesome. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want a partner who is going to stick with them for 20, 30, 40, 60 years? No one. And it's required of us to remain faithful to one another under all circumstances. I see people 70 plus and they're married. They still want another. They still love one another. And it breaks my heart when I see some just crumble in the first year. In fact, in the first week. They can't even handle dating. That's why most of you are still single, right? It's just hard, right? You're not ready for it. But are you thinking of and planning to remain faithful to that person for the rest of your life? Or you think you only want to be faithful when things are easy? How about when things are hard? How about when it's really hot? Would you still be faithful to your partner? Unfaithfulness, on the contrary, is compared to a bad tooth or a foot out of joint. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man is time of trouble. In time of trouble, is like a bad foot. Rather bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Imagine you wake up and you're served a delicious meal. Let's say you're Daniel, you have a royal meal before you and then you have a bad tooth. Oh man, that is the worst thing ever. Your teeth unfaithful. Remember recently, last Sunday, the World Cross Country Championships? There was one man who should have won that race. He had a bad muscle. In the last 1 mile, he led. And then all of a sudden, he had a muscle cramp. His muscles let him down. Who wants that? Daniel, faithful. This is a character that should be found in each one of us. Not just leaders. Not just pastors. Not just prophets. It's very easy for much to be expected from us. And that's fine. As leader, we're supposed to be faithful to everything that we do and faithful to our Lord. So are you. We are all His followers. So we should not think of Daniel and we think, oh, he's just an overachiever. I am not yet there. We may not yet be there, but we should desire to be there. We should allow God to continue shaping us into faithful vessels. In Psalm 12, verse 1, the psalmist said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. God help. We look around for people who are faithful. They are not there. Maybe they are 10%. What happens to the other 90%? In which percentage do you fall? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? There is one here, his name is Daniel, and we all aspire to be one. And this is the test of time, and faithfulness is one virtue that is proven over time. You're faithful on day one, and on day two, and on day three, and 1 year is gone. And 2 years down the road, 10, 15, for Daniel, 50, and he's still around. He's going nowhere. We're going to see him ending up in the lion's den, and then he comes out of it and continues serving. Some of us would just resign and go home. This is too dangerous. Right? He has seen more than four kings in his lifestyle, and is still in the palace. There's a lady who writes a story going to a Christian convention, a Christian gathering. And she noticed, as everybody was coming in into this hall, men and women. She says, some of them 40, some of them 50, some of them 60. They have been teaching and writing and doing radio programs and television programs that have touched her life. She says the years caught up with many of them, as evidenced by their halting footsteps as they walked into this room. She says, it hurt me to see how feeble some have become. One lady was there who had recently buried her husband of 60 years plus. Others had visible health issues. Some used a cane or a motorized scooter to come in. But she says, but I was blessed. I loved to see them still there and still faithfully serving the Lord. She says, I want to be like them someday. A woman who has faithfully served God, who didn't give up when the hardships of life arrived, who kept on keeping on for the tasks which God has given me to do. It blesses our hearts, it blesses us all when we see people faithfully committing to the things that they are committed to. Committed to their families, their wives or husbands. Committed to their children, committed to their jobs. Committed to their service to the Lord. Committed to their faith. And that should cause us to just want to be like them. And we have those examples all around us. They're all displayed. I've known people who have served the Lord for as long as I've known them. I've known people who, when I was younger, they looked older. I am getting old, they still look older, and they're still serving wherever they've been placed. It blesses my heart. It challenges me. In Matthew chapter 25, from verse 14 onwards, Jesus tells a parable of a master who was leaving for a long journey, is going to be away for a long time. And he commits to his servants a certain amount of talents, money, whatever it is, and would come back to them. They did not know when. To one he gave five, to the other two, and the other one. He did not give them instructions what to do with the talents. Have five, have two, have one. Bye-bye, I'll see you. When are you coming back? It's none of your business. I'm not going to tell you. I'm gone. The one who had five invested it and got five more. The one who had two invested it and got two more. The one who had one just kept it. The master returns and says, hey, where are my talents? The one who had five says, you know what? You gave me five, I invested it, I have five more. The one who had two says, you gave me two, I invested it, I have two more. The one who had one says, you know what, boss, I know you. You want to reap where you haven't sown. You have your one talent. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. the ones who had invested, and it's not just giving him his 5 talents back. It's the integrity and the honesty of saying, I actually invested it and I have 5 more. I was teaching through the week a class. The topic of faithfulness, really, it was kind of a side discussion. But ended up talking about this aspect of faithfulness. And one student asked, Pastor, what if my boss sends me with 10,000 shillings and he wants 2 kilos of sugar? And I go down Chikubo and I bargain it for 9,000. And I take 2 kilos of sugar back to my boss and I keep my 1,000 shillings. Is that fine? I ask him, so why are you asking if you think it's fine? The reason you're asking is because you're thinking there's something that it could be right, it could not be right. Something that might be right might not be right. I ask him, so why wouldn't you give back your boss the sugar, 2 kilos, and tell him, you know what? You gave me 10,000 to go buy sugar. I got it for 9. I have your 1,000 shillings back. Wouldn't that be better? He said, yeah, I think that would be better. But what if I need the 1,000 too? He said, then why won't you ask your boss? Boss, I brought back 1,000, so and may I please have it? Fairly, the boss will say, no, you can have it. That was your reward. But it leaves you with nothing bothering you in your head. It leaves you with no question. Faithfulness, honesty, integrity. But what happens when you keep the 1,000 thinking, should I have given it back to him or should I have kept it? And it bothers your conscience. And to us all, God has committed so much and is left out with so many talents. Whatever you have, let's say is a talent. Everything you have, God has given it to you. And he's saying, I'll be back to check on you sometime. And I'll require that talent that I've given to you to see what you have used it for. Would we be the ones who say, God, you gave us 5. We have 5 more. Here it is. Or the ones who had 2 and said, God, you gave us 2. We've earned 2 more. Here it is. Or would we be the one to say, you know, Lord, you are so unfair. How could you just give me 1? How could you give the other 5 and the other 2 and then you give only 1? You have back your 1 talent, Lord. Do you want to be that person who accuses your Lord and Master of being unfair? And tell you what, sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we think, but God, why have you given the other person so much and you've only given me 1? What's wrong with me, Lord? Instead of being thankful and using those talents, whatever little, whatever much, for the profit of the kingdom, you're just there whining about how one person has more and how the other has more than you. You have very little. The master gave according to his own decision. He just decided to give you whatever he gave you, whether little or much. And it's up to us to use it for his profit. And tell you what, he's coming, and coming really quick. And we all want to be that servant to whom the Lord says, well done, good and faithful. Servant, you are faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. In fact, faithfulness alone earns us promotion. Whether you're faithful to little or much, every level of faithfulness earns us honor and reward. So we should stop looking at what others have. Look at what you have and how best can you use it for the benefit of his kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required, it is a must in stewards that one be found faithful. It is a must that all of us are found faithful. We all have some thing in our hands that God has given us. In fact, we have a lot of things. Think about the things that you have. And it's required that everyone who possesses whatever talent you found faithful in its use. We have a lot of time. Are we faithful to use our time well? We have a lot of ideas. I know some people, every day they have an idea, they have never put one idea into practice. Is that faithfulness? Pastor, I have an idea. What's the idea? And it goes. And then the next week, Pastor, I have another idea. Not one into practice. Is that faithfulness? Each one of us is called to faithfulness, first of all, to the Lord. The reason Daniel was excellent and faithful is because of his faithfulness to the Lord. He literally walked with the Lord daily. And we may admire his position. He is a governor in a world empire. Who doesn't want that? He earned that position because he was faithful. If he had a bad message for the king, he delivered it. He told the king, "You are in trouble. You are going to die." When he had a good message for the king, he told the king, "Long live, O king, you have done well. God is rewarding you." He was faithful to deliver both bad message and a good one. He was faithful to confront and to praise. It's very easy for us to want favors from our employers by just praising them, right? "Oh, boss, you are the best ever." Which boss doesn't want to hear that? Who doesn't want to hear that? How about telling the boss, "You know what, boss, I think you're selfish and you're proud," and then you walk away? Who would dare do that? But what if that is your place? And we know that that's a big problem in every society, right? All we want to do is flatter people, and we want people to flatter us. "Oh, pastor, you are the best. Prophet, oh, my prophet. There's none like my prophet or my bishop." I mean, we love to be honored and praised and rewarded and, you know, complimented. But we also should be open. You should be open with me and say, "Pastor, you can do better." Right? How many of you would do that? You'd be counted faithful, right? It's honesty here. We need to be honest with one another. I don't want to pastor people who are wearing masks. In one place, they are the best, and in the other, they are terrible. And I keep receiving complaints about members of our church from their employers. And quite often, let me say all the time, I am shocked. This person, "Pastor, praise the Lord, good morning, they're on time for service," and everything. And it's a completely different case at work. They are rude and everything else, and I'm thinking, wow, how do I even deal with this? I mean, how would somebody respond if they scrutinized your life just like Daniel's was? In every place. Let's examine this person at church. Let's examine them at work. How does he treat the conductors in the taxi or the boda-boda riders? Let's follow him up. Right? I don't know if you watch such TV programs where you watch what, Kalondo's? Some crazy TV program on in one of the TV stations in Kampala. And tell you what, every discovery is a shock. This person is one thing in this area, but in another, an explosion. And that should not be in one of us. We must be faithful to our God. We must be faithful and excellent in our conduct. We must be faithful to one another. We must be committed and loyal and devoted to one another. And when we lack in faithfulness, what is left? What is left? It's just disgrace and dishonor. when Paul was writing to the Corinthians just a little after this. He writes in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, how we are collaborators with Jesus. We work with him. You are a co-employee with Jesus Christ. He's our boss. He still works with us. And he told them, each one of us is going to be rewarded according to our faithfulness in the work that we do. Just faithfulness. And he says, there are those who are going to build. They are going to work to a very little level of excellence. There are those who are going to work with a high level of excellence, maybe medium level of excellence. And we may not see those levels right now, but God is seeing them and he will uncover them. And he gives an illustration as if our work is going to be heaped before us. Almost at you know, equitable level, whatever work it was. And God is going to light a fire. And that is when our real effort and faithfulness is going to be seen. And he says, if you all the while built, if you all the while worked, and you're building with wood, grass, it's going to burn up. But you're out there doing your work with excellence. It's gold, silver, and precious stones. Your work, whatever the heap is going to completely stay intact. And that there is your reward. And there is no way we will accuse Jesus of being unfair. It's right there before you. That is your labor, right there. Is it is that your amount of effort? And it is. Okay, let's light some fire to it. Then it shrinks to almost nothing and you're like, yeah, that's still it. God, you're not unfair in any way. None of us will accuse God of unfairness. And I pray that we would, just like Daniel, when our life is scrutinized, when we stand before our master, we would have excelled in faithfulness. Amen? Amen? All right, let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Always blessing us, always forgiving us, always devoted to us, always watching over us, O God, always loving us. Lord, when we fail, Lord, you never fail. When we are unfaithful, you remain faithful. And Lord, your faithfulness stirs us up to also remain faithful to you. And Lord, to commit in faithfulness to one another. I pray that we would be faithful friends with one another. That we may remain faithful to our partners, to our wives, our husbands, oh God. To our jobs, to our employers, our employees. That Lord, when our life is scrutinized, faithfulness would be found. That when we are wrong, we admit we are wrong, we apologize, and the wrong is removed, O God. It's forgiven and cleansed. That we may be found humble. That we may be found in your likeness in every way. Lord, remind us of the need to be faithful every day. Even when we are tempted to laziness, we are tempted to stray, lead us, O Lord, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.